The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show Hour 1 Podcast.
Good Wednesday afternoon. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, and as you can already tell, I am not Paul Feinbaum. My name is Braden Gall. You can get to me on Twitter at Braden Gall. This is ESPN Radio. Of course, you can listen on the ESPN app as well. 855-242-7285 is the number. 855-242-7285 if you want to get in. Lots of time for your calls today as the NCAA continues to burn itself to the ground. I want to start today. So I'm just out of bad words, frankly, for what the NCAA has done with name, image, and likeness. I'm out of it. And I'm sure your eyes have glazed over enough over the course of the last week, months, maybe year and a half, with all the different conversations about name, image, and likeness. So I just can't do it. I can't do it today. I don't have the energy. I don't have it in my soul. If you want to talk about it, we can go there. But I've used so many bad words about their ruling on Monday that I can't do it today. We've talked about expansion. We've talked about the transfer portal. And sure, if you want to go there, we can do it. But I want to talk divisions because this has been something I am just utterly passionate about for probably the better part of 2 years now. And that is that they don't really serve a purpose in college football. Divisions and being divided inside your conference, while a lovely tradition for conferences, especially like the SEC, the Big Ten just up and change theirs around. If you can call in right now and tell me who's in the Coastal Division right off the top of your head, I'll send you a magazine, a preseason magazine from Athlon Sports, who I also work for. I just think that the divisional format, which is being rumored by the ACC, the Big Ten, the Mountain West has already talked about getting rid of divisions, and the SEC, I just don't know if they serve a purpose. How do they benefit our conferences and our sports and our championship? And I just don't see how it works. And so if you're laying out the reasons why you'd get rid of divisions and go into sort of a one conference, the way the ACC functioned in 2020 when they had Notre Dame and it was a 15-team league. Again, that's the direction the ACC is going. I think the Big Ten is going that direction. We know the Mountain West is going that direction. And by all accounts, this is the direction the SEC is going to go. We're going to have a ruling or some rules or a waiver, whatever you want to call it, over the course of the next month, that it's probably going to allow for teams to just get rid of divisions altogether. You had to have divisions to hold a championship game. That's going to be gone. They're just going to get rid of that because they can. But here's the reason why it's good for your sport, your team, your league. Maybe not as much in the SEC, but there's a couple of different things here. Number one, you need to have the best possible championship game, right? You want the best possible championship game for your conference for a number of reasons. You need to generate the most ticket sales, the highest TV ratings. You want the best possible team to go to the playoff. You cannot have 6-6 Pittsburgh playing in a conference championship game and then have that team one win away from going to the playoff if we're going to give automatic bids to our conferences. Wisconsin, I believe, won the Big Ten championship when Ohio State was ineligible a few years ago at 8-5. That we can't have that type of situation if we're going to have automatic bids attached to the playoff. And I think the even bigger reason for the SEC to be interested in this, because they're not as worried about putting on a great product, Georgia-Bama, whether it's Florida-Bama, whether it's LSU. I mean, even when it was Auburn and Missouri, you had two teams ranked in the top 10 and worthy of competing for a conference championship and the winner going on to play for the national title. So it doesn't matter who's in the game. Generally, for the SEC, it's a great game. It's a high-level product, heavily viewed, a sellable commodity, and it puts its best foot forward into the playoff. The best team generally comes out of the SEC. But it's not the same in every other conference. And on top of that, obviously we've discussed a lot about how Texas A&M and Georgia haven't played. They're going to play twice in 12 years, one time in College Station in 12 years, one time in Athens in 12 years. And that, I think, right there is where the SEC cares the most. The SEC, and Greg Sankey has not hidden this. Greg Sankey wants to move to cycling teams through campuses more often. It's not that complicated. You have six locked-in opponents every single year, which has made for great football to this point. But Greg Sankey has said, even before the pandemic and before expansion with Texas and Oklahoma, we were reevaluating our divisional format. And I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I think it's fantastic. Divisions are a waste of time. Now, if you can convince me, give me a good, sound, financial or logistical or legitimate reason why we should keep divisions, I'm all ears. I'm willing to listen to a reason that keeping divisions intact benefits our sport, benefits this conference, benefits college football. I can't come up with one other than tradition. And tradition seems awfully silly, a silly thing to stand on when it comes to making millions of more dollars or whatever it is. Now, Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, two guys along with a variety of other guys in the SEC that have been very pro nine conference games. And if you expand to 16 teams and you get rid of divisions, you're probably going to have to go to nine conference games. Because what that allows you to do is the three permanent, and this is what the ACC is talking about doing, three permanent opponents per season with five rotating. So a 3-5 layout in the ACC. So you play home and home with five teams, and then another home and home with five teams, and you've played every team in 4 years. You've played every team twice in the league over a four-year span. I don't know if that's too complicated for people, but I feel like it's pretty easy. In the SEC, it would be a 3-6 model. Three exact same opponents every year, and then six teams that rotate. You play a home and home with one set of six, then you play a home and home with the next set of six, and you've played every team, all 16 teams, in the SEC twice in a four-year span. It's really not that complicated. I'd be curious. I don't think this is possible. I certainly don't think the SEC is considering this, but I would like to see a conversation around weighted scheduling. Alabama fan, maybe you're upset about that. I would argue you shouldn't care. If you're Alabama, you're Alabama. Take all comers. If you're Vandy, a weighted schedule sounds pretty good because then you have a better opportunity to elevate yourself out of the bottom of the conference by playing the quote-unquote easiest schedule. A weighted schedule just means if you finish first, you'd play the toughest schedule the next year. If you finish last, you'd play the easiest schedule the next year. Could smarter people than me figure that out? Absolutely. But I don't think weighted scheduling is going to be a thing. But I am in favor of that. Next best case scenario, the 3-6, where you play three teams. Now, if you try to do this, this is what's fun, and this is what I want to hear from you guys on. 855-242-7285, Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio. I would like to know who should be your team's three opponents. Some of these are easy. Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Auburn. Some of these are very easy. I think two of Texas's opponents should be Texas A&M and Oklahoma. I don't know how you make the case. And frankly, it should be Arkansas number three, if you want to go back to the old Southwest Conference. So it's not that difficult to come up with the three teams that should be locked into playing each other each year. And then you get to play everybody in the league twice over a four-year span. That's fantastic. A&M fans would get to go to Auburn, would get to go to Georgia, would get to go to Florida. You know, LSU fans are going to every single play. It works great. And even when you look at the schedule, you just look at the standings and you see 1-16 and you have the top two go into the conference championship game. You're giving your best two teams a chance to make the playoff. And in the SEC case, that's not as big a deal because they already are. But every other conference needs that. Every other conference needs to have the best two teams in their championship game so that the best possible team can get into the playoff. This division thing, again, I'm willing to hear you guys out. 855-242-7285. I've been on this for 2 years now. I don't understand the value of it. If you can explain to me why we should keep divisions in the SEC or anywhere else in college football, let me know. I'm all ears. 855-242-7285. In addition to that, which three teams, if you get three permanent teams in the SEC every single year on your schedule, and any other conference too, who should be those three teams for your favorite football team? Like if you're a South Carolina fan, is it Georgia, Kentucky, Missouri? I mean, South Carolina, Tennessee is a pretty good rivalry. But if you're LSU, do you want Auburn? Do you want Florida to stay on that list? It probably can't be Alabama. I think Texas A&M and LSU is a better rivalry right now than Alabama and LSU. Let that one sink in for a second. That I-10 rivalry is very real, folks. And I think it's one of the best things that's happened to the SEC since expansion is LSU and A&M and all the hatred they've got for each other. It's wonderful. I love it. I'm here for the petty. But I don't think LSU and Bama can be a permanent game. That's sad, but it's still they still get to play twice every 4 years, so it's not that big of a deal with potentially new scheduling and new division and new alignment, new expansion. So let me know what you think, man. Convince me otherwise. 855-242-7285. We'll take your phone calls. Lines will be open right here on ESPN Radio, the Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in. Convince me otherwise. And Mike Leach is up to it again. We'll do all that next right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 855-242-7285. My name is Braden Gall. You can get to me on Twitter, at Braden Gall. Divisions, I think they're ridiculous. Not sure why we have them in college football, which is why we're going to get rid of them. Thank goodness. The ACC, Big Ten, SEC all contemplating right now as meetings are taking place across the country that the divisional format of our conferences is going to disappear in the very near future. And it makes sense when you bring Texas and Oklahoma in. The Mountain West has already announced that they're probably going to be doing away with divisions as well. And I understand that's an adjustment for folks, but I think it's the right thing. Better matchups in the conference championship game. You're putting a better team into the playoff. And most importantly for the SEC, which is what I know they care the most about, scheduling fluidity, the ability to schedule more teams more often in more locations. 855-242-7285. If, again, you can convince – I will be open to listening to why we should keep things the way they are. I'm willing to listen. I'm open-minded. I'm a nice guy. 855-242-7285. We'll get to Mike Leach and his tweets about expansion and how misguided they were a couple of days ago from the Kentucky Derby in just a second. But Mike from Alabama, you are first up on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Mike, what is up, man?
Hey, how you doing today?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Good, good. Just wanted to make a comment. You had mentioned, I'll just tell you personally, I kind of hate to see the divisions go away. And I give you a couple of reasons why. It sounds like maybe you're from a little younger age group. But, you know, a lot of times in the past, this was set up, you know, in a regional kind of thing where people could also, you know, travel, attend the games, that kind of thing. And having a divisional format that is, you know, takes into consideration the geographies of things, you know, I think it lends towards that in a better way. I think that you're going to see, if you do go to the new model, I think you're going to see attendance continue to dwindle. I mean, like, for instance, you know, this first time we go play Texas in Austin, I'm sure we've got a good showing. And, hey, this is probably not a good example because – you know, the Texas game would be a big one that, you know, a lot of people will attend. But, you know, it doesn't make it easier for the average Joe. The average Joe is not going to be able to go to Austin every other year and, you know, or something like that. So I think you're overlooking that a little bit. I think it's important regionally, you know, to keep attendance up also. And I live like in Northwest Alabama. I've got, you know, friends just over in Tennessee, just over in Mississippi. We cross state lines to attend games and rib one another and that kind of thing. And, you know, that's really just so much a part of what college football is. And these guys in pursuit of the almighty dollar, you know, really is, I think, really hurting that. I think that, and, you know, your argument about, well, we might want to make sure you get the two best teams in the championship game. Well, that happens 99% of the time with divisions. I think probably will be more so assured that you do that when you have divisions, because you have conquered your division. You've beat the guys in your division, you know, or, you know, you've got the better record in playing all of them in the division. And so you represent your division in the championship game. I think statistically, and I'm not a statistician, but I think that if you, you know, ran the numbers on that, I think you'd come out with in favor of that kind of scenario. So anyway, just a couple of things for you to think about there with the divisional thing. I don't think that it's not been a bad thing for college football. I don't believe at all. Matter of fact, I think it's been a successful model in the past. And my people always want to jump up and just do away with something in the hat, you know, the drop of a hat. I'm not sure why. So,
well, I appreciate the call, Mike.
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I appreciate the call, Mike. So you've got attendance numbers, excuse me, which is a good, excuse me, I'm beclimped by this. Attendance numbers, which is a good one. And then 99% of the time you get the best two teams. I mean, obviously, Bama won the national championship and didn't play in the conference title game. So that obviously that just was a miss a couple of years ago. If you look at the ACC title game, now again, this has not been as big a problem in the SEC. The SEC generally has had two great teams, probably the two best teams, not all of them, but generally the two best teams. I would argue right now, going into 2022, Alabama or Georgia, who's got a tougher path? It's not even close. It's Alabama. Like, it's not even close. Who's the second best team in the SEC East in 2022? Tennessee, Kentucky, Florida? Probably one of those three. Are any of those three teams a 10-win team? Nope. Any of those teams, I'm talking 2022, not last year, Kentucky fan, chill out. Those are all 8-4-ish type of teams. Don't tell me it's the same in the West in 2022 when you got Arkansas. LSU's going to be better. You know, Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Mississippi State's bringing 17 starters back and a guy who threw for like $5,000 last year in Will Rogers. So don't tell me that the path for Georgia doesn't matter. The path for Georgia to get back to the title game is significantly easier than the path for Alabama. So there's no competitive balance when it comes to divisions. Now, to your point about attendance, I think part of the reason they're going to get away from divisions is attendance. Because what you are able to do when you have more flexibility in scheduling is to have more good games at your home stadium, which you can then sell to season ticket holders and you can sell to your TV partners. This is about creating better inventory. It's about putting better games on TV, better games, and putting more butts in seats. So I actually think attendance goes up because you're going to be playing more teams more often and you're going to churn through those and there's more balance there competitively. Because you don't have one heavy Western division versus one lighter Eastern division. And let's go to the ACC. Very first ACC championship game was won by number 22 Florida State. Do we want the number 22 team in the nation winning a conference title game and getting into the playoff with an automatic bid? Is that what we want for our sport? Wake Forest in 2006 was ranked 16th in the nation. Virginia Tech in 2008 was ranked 25th in the nation. Georgia Tech in 2009 was ranked 12th. 2010, Virginia Tech won the conference title, number 12 in the nation. Clemson in 2011, 21st in the nation. Florida State in 2012, 13th in the nation. These aren't even top 10 teams that are winning conference championships, and in the new model would be clinching automatic bids into the playoff. And we cannot, in my opinion, if you love college football and you want the best teams to get in and you want the best possible playoff, you cannot have a team winning a division by default, because it happens to be easier. The Big Ten West and the Big Ten East are not equivalent. Like, they're just not. You cannot divide conferences by geography and claim that they are balanced just because of where they're all located. I don't get that one. Although I agree with you, Mike, on attendance. Here's the other one. This is the way it's always been as sort of part of your argument here, right? Well, it wasn't before 1992. So if you're an old, quote-unquote, older generation, were you okay with the SEC before 1992? Because the reason that we split into divisions was because of money. Like, the reason we have divisions is a, like, Division III conference in Virginia in the late 80s petitioned the NCAA to have a championship game. And they gave them a championship game as long as they split into divisions. And the SEC and Roy Kramer, in his infinite wisdom, saw that and said, wait a second, I'm going to do this in our sport, in our league, and I'm going to put two teams. At the time, it was you had Alabama and, you know, newcomer Steve Spurrier in Florida. And it was a lot of – man, that 92 championship game, there was a lot of – and I'm only 39, or I am 39. That feels old. I should have said I'm almost 40. Makes me sound a little older. That I was 10 years old when that game happened, and even I know now how much complaining was done about that game because – they were worried that it was going to cost them a national championship. Obviously, we know what happened in that first game with Alabama and Florida. So really, if tradition's your argument, tradition's only 30 years old. Like, tradition doesn't include Bear Bryant in this case. It doesn't include any. It doesn't include Herschel Walker. It doesn't include Bo Jackson. It doesn't include Johnny Majors. It doesn't include anybody that coached it or played for any of these teams before 92. So I'm not sure I buy the it's the way it's always been kind of thing, since it was just fabricated out of thin air in 1992 to generate revenue. That's it. It was done to make money. And if it's here to stay, which it is, the championship game, I agree, let's make sure it's worth the most. Let's make sure it's worth the best possible, you know, version of itself. And I don't think any other league right now, again, this is not a problem for the SEC. They generally have great teams playing in their title game, top five teams that deserve to be in the playoff, and they get into the playoff. But other leagues is not the case. In other leagues, you've got 6-6 Pittsburgh playing for a conference championship. And we can't make that. We can't make that an automatic bid. We got to put the best two teams into the playoff, into the tournament. Lee from Alabama. Lee, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul. What's up, Lee?
Hey, man, how's it going?
What's up, dude?
I would I kind of like your idea on the 6-3, although where I would disagree with you at is – Alabama has got to play LSU. As an Alabama fan, you've got to give us Auburn, you've got to give us Tennessee, and you've got to give us LSU. The rest of them we'll take as they come. Hell, you can combine Oklahoma and Texas. Tell them to come on down to Tuscaloosa. Bring both fan bases. We'll stomp an Alabama mud hole in them, and we'll walk it dry. Roll Tide.
I love it, Lee. Thank you, man. What's funny is when I did this exercise, what I wrote down for Alabama for their three obviously was number one Auburn, number two Tennessee. But I wrote down Oklahoma as number three because to me it's more about LSU. Like, LSU's top rivals right now are, in my opinion, Texas A&M's number one. I know that's a shocking thing to hear, but here you want your mind blown by something? LSU fans, you correct me if I'm wrong, LSU fans. You call me and tell me if I'm wrong. You were rooting for A&M. Excuse me, you were rooting for Alabama in that Nick Calzada game this past season. Tell me I'm wrong about that. LSU fans, were you rooting for Alabama or were you rooting for A&M in that game? I have talked to a lot of LSU people, and they were rooting for Alabama in that game. The hatred between A&M and LSU is very real. And it's deep. It runs deeper than 2012 and expansion. It runs deeper than just football. It runs down I-10. It runs communities displaced by Katrina. It runs through baseball. That LSU A&M thing runs deep, man. I love it. I think it's a deeper, more hated rivalry than even LSU Bama right now. You tell me if I'm wrong. I'm fine with that. At Braden Gall on Twitter, 855-242-7285, ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Paul Feinbaum Show. The 3-6 model is very intriguing for a 9-game conference schedule. We'll continue to take your phone calls. Coming up next, Stephen Lassen of Athlon Sports. We're going to dive into the preseason magazine predictions and who belongs at number four. Is it a third SEC team in the preseason top four rankings? We'll get to that next. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum. This is the Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Braden Gall in for Paul. Honored to be here hanging out with you guys. 855-242-7285. We'll get to your phone calls here coming up momentarily. But it's that time of year in college football. And I'll be very honest and transparent with all of you guys. Again, you can get to me on Twitter, at Braden Gall. Tell me I'm crazy for thinking that LSU hates A&M more than it hates Alabama right now. Again, you can tell me I'm crazy. That's fine. At Braden Gall on Twitter. This is the time of year where magazines are starting to come out across the country, and I'll be transparent. As I said, I've worked for Athlon Sports since 2007. I've been there for a very long time, and I've worked with Stephen Lassen, editor and writer for the website athlonsports.com and for the magazine for 15 years now. We host a podcast together, the Cover 2 College Football Podcast. Stephen, welcome to the Feinbaum Show, my friend. How are you, sir?
Hey, Braden, I'm doing great. It's good to be talking some college football in May. Is it too early to call it talking season, or is that appropriate right now?
I'm going to spend 4 hours talking today about college football. So, and I know you and I have already done a podcast today, so we'll just talk some more because the magazines are basically to bed, which means they're coming out soon. I want to ask you this about the playoff. Is this the one of the toughest decisions that Athlon Sports has had to make, that you've had to make, about who to put into the playoff in terms of since 2014 and doing this magazine? When it comes out in a couple of weeks on newsstands, athlonsports.com, what is going to be, when people pick it up and look at the top four, how are you going to explain how difficult that decision was?
It was extremely difficult. I don't think it's any surprise that most people will have Alabama, Ohio State, and Georgia in the top three. You may jumble the order a little bit, but I think those three teams are a cut above everyone else this year. And even within that, I think you can put Alabama just a step ahead of Georgia and Ohio State. The number four spot was probably the toughest debate that we've had at Athlon Sports in picking the playoff of the playoff era. Braden, as you know, we've been in some pretty difficult and, you know, long debates about number four in previous years, but this year was by far the most difficult because you can look at a team like Clemson. Are they going to be able to rebound this year after slipping back to 10-3? You have Texas A&M, Utah, Michigan, Notre Dame. There are a lot of candidates for that number four spot, and I don't think that there was a clear and obvious pick here. You could make a pretty compelling case for several teams at number four.
Stephen Lassen joining us here from Athlon Sports. Magazine's on sale here in the next couple of weeks, so get your orders in. I think what's interesting, Stephen, is a lot of that stems from how difficult conference championship decisions were and predictions are this year with the ACC, with the Big 12, and with the Pac-12 in particular. I think when you try to decide who's going to play in those conference championship games, I think this was the toughest Power 5 championship decisions we've ever had.
No question about it. And there's really not a ton of debate, I think, in the SEC or Big Ten, like you were hinting at. But in the ACC, I think, you know, we go back to Clemson. We know their defense is going to be outstanding once again. I mean, they have four potential All-Americans along the defensive line. The question is going to be offensively. I mean, they were at the bottom of the ACC in scoring and yards per play last season, a very uncharacteristic year for Clemson. Also, the ACC around Clemson is improving. You have NC State bringing back 17 starters. You have Wake Forest that won the division last year. Miami's improving. Pittsburgh still, I think, pretty solid with or without Jordan Addison. So I think that the threats to Clemson are more than there has been, and there's still a question about that offense. I think the Big 12 is really wide open. I can make a case for a couple teams in there. I also think there may not be a team that's good enough to get to the playoff. There may be a lot of top 10, 15 type teams, but maybe not a clear candidate to make it into that top four. And, of course, the Pac-12 is going to be so fascinating. You've got Lincoln Riley at USC with Oregon with a new coach in Dan Lanning, and there's Utah, which has been on the doorstep of making the playoff and a couple years ago, bringing back a lot of pieces, including quarterback Cameron Rising, who was really the catalyst for that surge over the second half of the season. So, yeah, once you get into these debates for the Big 12, Pac-12, ACC, you could see a team getting into the playoff from those conferences. It's just trying to figure out which one you like a little bit more right now.
Is this the year finally that the Pac-12 gets back to the college football playoff?
I think there's a chance. I think this Utah team, with the way that they played down the stretch once they made the quarterback switch to Cameron Rising, not to mention, I mean, just consistency. They've won three out of the last four Pac-12 South titles. So you have a good foundation, consistency under Kyle Whittingham. Oregon brings back maybe the best offensive line in the Pac-12. I think Bo Nix is an upgrade over what Oregon had at quarterback last season. USC is probably the biggest wild card in the Pac-12. On paper, you know, they really struggled on defense last season. Once the coaching change happened, you know, it kind of felt like, you know, this was a program that just, you know, once with the new staff and everything coming into place, I think that will give this team a bump automatically. But how do you judge all the new transfers coming in? Caleb Williams, instant impact transfer at quarterback. But there are a lot of pieces and also a lot of questions about this defense. So I would suspect that the Pac-12 probably beats up on itself a little bit, but I could also see Utah, especially with that game at Florida to start the season, I could see them making it a run at the college football playoff.
Steven Lassen from Athlon Sports joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio. Braden Gall in for Paul. And what I heard there was you think Utah's going to beat Florida in week one. So Gators fans, get ready at Athlon, Steven. Real quickly, Steven, we'll let you go with this one. Again, magazines are going to be on sale here soon, so make sure you check out the website, athlonsports.com. Divisions, are you pro or against divisions in college football in the future? Do you think they should go away?
I used to be in the camp of let's keep divisions. I actually think let's just get rid of them now, because it really was about tradition and trying to stage the conference championship game to make a few extra bucks for the conference. But if you get rid of divisions, you can still have a good conference championship game. And in theory, it's a better conference championship game because you're matching up two teams that are ranked higher. But not only that, just getting rid of divisions, I think you rotate more opponents, and also you just get better schedules year in and year out. So I'm on team, get rid of divisions. Let's make the schedules better. Let's make conference championship games better.
There you have it, Steven. That's why I had you on, man, to agree with me. I appreciate it, Steven. Always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you, man.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on.
Steven Lassen from Athlon Sports, at Athlon Steven on Twitter, and make sure you go pre-order your magazines now. You can get any cover you want, and it'll show up before it's on newsstands. That's athlonsports.com is the website. Steven does an amazing job. I've known that man for about 15 years, worked with him for about 15 years, and no one cares as much about college football as he does. So special thanks for him joining us today, and go check out the magazines as well. Divisions. Who should be your three teams? If we go 3-6 scheduling, we get rid of divisions, we have a 9-game conference schedule, we have a 16-team SEC, who should your three teams be? And try to convince me that we should keep these divisions. Try to convince me. Braden Gall in for Paul Feinbaum, 855-242-7285. Your phone call's next. It's ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This is the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, 855-242-7285. Braden Gall in for Paul, at Braden Gall on Twitter. We'll get to your calls here momentarily. No decision today. This coming out just recently in the last few minutes on the ACC scheduling, but the 3-5 rotation remains to be the favorite beginning in 2023. This from Brandon Marcello of 24/7 Sports. Miami AD Dan Radakovich, if there was an anvil over us, we probably would have been able to make the decision today. if we had a gun to our head, we could decide divisions. That's what he's saying there. Listen, they're going to get rid of divisions in the ACC. The Mountain West has already done it, and they're going to do it, and they're going to move to probably a 3-permanent with 5-team rotational schedule, so a 3-5 model. in the SEC. If they do that, it would be a 3-6 model. 855-242-7285. Better matchups, better team going to the playoff, and better scheduling. Those are the reasons to get rid of divisions. Try to convince me otherwise if you so choose. Jim from Gadsden. Jim, what's up, man? How are you? Welcome to the Feinbaum Show. Jim, how are you, sir?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
What's up, man?
Are you there?
I'm here, buddy.
In general, something you said several moments ago when you were starting basically today, it just seemed like the divisions encourage participation with the people, and talking about more money. More money means more fans because of money comes from tickets, fans. And I just sort of, I don't know, I've been following you, last half hour and or so. And I just don't quite see what's wrong with the encouraging the fans. So maybe I've gotten something a little wrong there, but it seems like discouraging the fans is not a good idea.
Well, so Jim, don't go anywhere. How would getting rid of divisions discourage fans from either attending games or being involved in their teams?
Well, divisions give, and like the idea that, I forgot the name of the conference, but the Western Division is so much weaker than the Eastern Division, but it gives the people in the West more cheering ability for their teams. Maybe I'm getting something wrong. I played football in high school and a little bit in college, although I'm not a great star or anything, but my brother was. He was a star in Alabama back in the late 40s and early 50s, played fullback. But I just kind of feel like the division thing and their playoff, with all its problems, it's just better for the fans. But I'm willing to be corrected, but that's just the way it seems.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Jim. I'm not sure I track the they'll be more involved cheering for their team because they're playing in the Western Division versus just playing in the SEC. I'm not sure I track that. I think the argument maybe you're trying to make, and maybe I'm wrong here, which is those teams in the West have been in the SEC for 100 years almost. So there hasn't been many years that have gone by. And anybody in the East, same for the East, like Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida have not played each other, like, ever. And so I guess, not having a, if Ole Miss and Auburn, for example, two teams that have played each other for almost 100 years, are skipping each other every 2 years, is that the argument, right? Like, Auburn and Ole Miss miss each other. Well, we've had that every year for 75 years. We would miss that. I think that's a fair argument. I think that's a good point. But I think you have to understand with conference realignment and just divisional realignment in this case, what comes along with maybe making some small sacrifices also comes along with new, fresh, opportunities, which is Ole Miss and Tennessee are going to play more often, right? Like Ole Miss and Georgia are going to play more often. Mississippi State and Tennessee are going to play more often. Arkansas and Tennessee are going to play more often. And so there's a trade-off here, right? And so I get that argument. Like Auburn and Alabama and LSU have been together since the 30s. Like, I get it. I understand that argument, but they're still together. They're just maybe not together as much, even though they're still in the same conference. So I get where you're coming from there. I'm not sure I follow the fan engagement thing, because I think if you give fans good football and good products, that's it. That's the most important thing. Give TV audiences good products. I think that's the most important thing. 855-242-7285. More of your phone calls. Divisions are going the way of the dodo bird, folks. My name is Braden Gall. In for Paul. More of your phone calls next on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.